Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And welcome to Artist Spotlight, presented by The God Show. Let's go. Shout out to our main sponsor, Two Lost. Artist Spotlight will be presented by our partners, Two Lost Distribution. But we have a very special guest. I want to describe you right.
Okay.
I feel like hip-hop... Maybe man hip hop, a lot of females, all has this bat signal for this female MC to come save the day and change the way we see the world the way Lauryn Hill did. Mm. On the day that Apple Music announced Lauryn Hill has the number one album of all time, I think it's fitting to just announce our guest, who I believe is on the trajectory to go that far because she's that dope. Let's give it up for Rapsody, guys. And for the record, no H.
No H.
Listen, we got to figure out a way to go to Webster's Dictionary. We got to get the word legally changed. How I don't spell outcast with a C. I don't spell convict with a C. And I don't want to spell Rapsody with a H. Hip hop is now taking over. So welcome to Artist Spotlight, Rapsody.
I'm so happy to be here. What an intro. That's a big intro. Thank you.
It's funny because when Big D and I was speaking about you, I was like, she's what everyone wants. She's what everyone is complaining about. She's what everyone is saying we need. And I'm like, nigga, yes. You want to do a whole week with her? I'm like, because like, as a man that's tired of twerking.
Yeah.
As a man. I'm not, you don't have, this is my, as a man.
Yeah, receive.
I'm tired of it.
A lot of people.
No, it can't. No, you can't say that's pause. That's not pause. Can I tell you that's not pause? I like it, but I don't want to pull up to my daughter's school and see it.
Yeah, it's
a time
everywhere.
And place, and it's everywhere now.
Yeah, so everybody kind of doing it. Yeah. It's just oversaturated.
It's kind of like the new. It's kind of like the new hype man for female rap. Like it's like instead of my hype man, instead of having a flip star upstairs on stage hyping you up, they just turn around and start twerking. It's like my nigga. So, but that's my opinion. You're not turning women against women because Rapsody loves
all.
No,
it's an observation.
But how you doing?
I'm good. I'm so good.
And your new album is. And by the way, this is my first time ever saying this on the show. You can ask anybody. I've never told them their new music was hard.
No, you ain't never said
that. Like, never? I actually listened. No. I actually listened. And I was like, she is hard.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to ask you this. What do you feel, how can I put this? I want to get it the right way. Because I don't want to place you against the field, but I want to ask you, where do you feel like you fit in today's female hip-hop economy, not female, because you giving niggas a run for their money. We ain't doing that. But where do you feel like you fit in today's economy with rap and everything else? Like, how would you describe yourself?
I feel like I'm an outlier. Mm. I'm an anomaly, honestly.
That's a strong word.
On a mainstream level, if we're talking about the business of hip-hop and what's promoted and what's pushed, I'm left of everything that is. I describe myself as the difference. You know, the person that gives you permission to say that I can be myself, right? Mm. Because it is just one image somewhat, one narrative. And people used to tell me all the time, like, you know, I read tweets, they'd be like, yo, she'll never make it because she not naked. And she'll never make it because she don't talk about sex. You know, and it's just like, no, you can. Mm. You know?
No, I agree, but you have to be talented.
You have mm-hmm. to be talented.
And that's what they don't, that's the part that they don't acknowledge. Like, music has been made to be so easy mm-hmm. that it feels like you don't need talent to do it.
Right, right.
And you really do.
It's 10% talent and everything else. Who you dating, like, you know, your PR, mm-hmm. how much money behind you.
I heard all that on the album, by the way. That's what I liked, because you addressed the elephants in the room.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what I think, that's what Eminem did on mm-hmm. 8 Mile, and I think that's what great artists do. They tell you, like, I just saw an interview with Stacey Barf said, when Biggie said the line, fat, black, ugly as ever, it changed her whole life. Because she was like 8 years old and she was a heavyset girl. She was like, well, if he can be black, fat, and own it, I can too. Right. So people don't understand that. You guys are superheroes. It's now we just, now rappers are capitalists. Like, mm-hmm. it don't even matter. It don't matter how much damage you do as long as you got paid. And for me, it's like, there's a residue that we're seeing mm-hmm. in our culture. And to me, it's being led by the irresponsibilities of hip hop, and maybe it's at the top. By the way, shout out to Shari and Omar, because we have two black people who run Roc Nation, mm-hmm. and I seen them firsthand give their artists the wings to fly. Not telling them where to fly like some labels, but the wings to fly.
Yes, you know, spread your wings and we'll be the wind beneath it. Like, they really care about the culture, about the art, about the artist's story, about their authenticity, integrity. They've been like so supportive. Even at Rock, I've never been rushed for a project. I've never been asked to change anything. People give their input. You know, we have great conversations, and sometimes I learn things that make me better and make me look and approach things better. But I love that they really about artist development, and they really care about the culture and the art and the music. It's not about a bottom line. It's about really longevity and creating superstars and connecting with people. So they've been amazing, and I think it cuts through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you can feel it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're treated very important. Mm. And I believe if you was on another label, they might not understand the importance.
Look at me.
The importance. I think they'll get it.
Maybe, I don't know. They'd be like, but the importance of money in.
But this was saying, like in the meetings, so I've sat in those meetings. They know who's the money makers, but they also know who are the game changers.
Gotcha.
They also know, so they know what they're doing. They just don't know anyone like you, in my opinion. So because of that, I feel like they look at it like, well, who is it for? And I'm like, well, it's for anybody who, like Chastity, who works with me. Chastity has your picture on the couch. Like, I didn't even know, she loves you. Like, she's like, she's my friend in my head. I'm like, damn, like, you really have an effect on a certain black woman, and I think that we should stop allowing that to be overlooked. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you a question. How do you, you're a real MC, and you have an album that came out called Please Don't Cry. Let's clap for our album. By the way, it's really, really good, and I said it, and I'm a critic out the ass. It's really good.
Thank you. But, that means a lot.
You have Erykah Badu on the album, and Erykah Badu has a famous saying, I'm an artist, I'm sensitive about my shit. So I know you're an artist and you're sensitive about your shit. How do you what is your thoughts on making artists like chasing the algorithm, like kind of letting the world tell them this pace? Like, I feel like the one thing I like about you is I feel like you're like, I'm gonna pick my spots, I'm gonna do it my way. I don't care what the world is doing, I don't care who's dropping, I don't care who's at war. Mm-mm. I'm gonna come pick my spots. Like, where'd you get that thought process? Like, how'd you get that confidence? Was it Knife?
He definitely was a big factor. He and Guru.
Yeah.
Like,
Shout out to Guru.
I always knew who I was and how I wanted to show up in this business, right? But to say it hasn't been frustrating and hard, I would be lying, right? That's the human part. But they were always there to pour into me.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you one of the dopest ever. You know, this, you know, whatever it is, but they were all, no matter what it is I was frustrated about, they were always there to remind me, like, it's a long path,
yeah,
and you're making progress. Just keep going. People will catch up with you eventually. So that's what it is, because, you know, we talk about just having always peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have all these things, but the real currency is, can I look myself in the mirror? Am I happy with myself? Am I happy with what I'm giving with the world? Is it honest? Can I sleep at night? You know, do I feel good about the stories that I'm telling? And so, you know, I wanted to keep that part of me.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the culture and the music too much. Like, everything else is the blessing, but I do it because I love it and we want to have a connection with people, because I remember how I felt when I heard Lauryn Hill. I remember how I felt when I heard Biggie. I remember how
was there anything
I felt
specific that you could point to, you know, that you heard that stuck with you?
With Lauryn?
Lauryn, Biggie. And I just want to hear from your perspective, like, because women are deep.
Yeah.
Men, we shallow as fuck. Like, we don't be hearing this shit. Like, we don't be hearing, like, the lines of shit. Like, what?
Like, okay, one Lauryn bar that has stuck with me, like, my whole life. Like, I've just sat with it. Was it Ready or Not? How many mics? Can't remember. But she was like, at the end of the bar, she said, and even after all my logic and my theories, I add a motherfucker so you ignorant niggas hear me. Like, that bar was so heavy to me.
I love that.
And it, you know, it's no different then to what it is now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you still have to put the pill in the applesauce.
Yeah.
Like, I could give you all this knowledge.
Yep.
But I know the program that y'all in and who really controls
how
your mind.
How y'all think. Yep.
Exactly how you think. So I'm going to add this motherfucker just to catch your attention. Mm. So maybe you'll grab on to the rest. Mm. Like, that was so deep, right?
She's so ill.
She just performed on Fallon with her son, YG Marley, who's amazing. But mm-hmm. she spit this new verse. It blew my mind. Like, yeah. And it's a good mile marker for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she has been gone for so long, and I look to her and Erica mm-hmm. a lot. But just hearing that verse, it just reminded me, like, stay on the course. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
I want to ask you something, if you want to speak about it. I just want to focus on, for a hot second, your frustrations. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I want to focus on that is because it's two reasons. Number one, when you talk about it out loud, it'd be like, it really ain't, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to say it. And then there are people watching this that are looking at you like you're on and like you have it together. And especially the artists. And the reason I wanted to do Artist Spotlight is because I feel like artists watch this and I just want them to understand, like, this shit ain't gonna always be, it ain't a ride. It's frustrations.
Could
you elaborate on some frustration that you might have experienced just in the journey? It don't have to be specific, but just like something that you might experience that someone might get run into.
I mean, you have to be super patient in this, the politics of it. You know, it's a really, like, who you know type of game sometimes. You could be talented as you want, a lot of talented people, but sometimes the difference in who you know, who's going to give you that look, and, you know, like, where you work so hard and you dedicate so much time and you feel like people just overlook it. It mm-hmm. can be frustrating. Trying to get respect as a woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, a woman, again, who's different
yeah.
than what everything else is portrayed as.
Exactly.
You know, I've learned a lot, too, about the business side of things. I can't put it all on the industry, yeah. right? Like, you know, you can have financial frustrations. You know, I need this great publicist, but they're $6,000 a month. Like, you know, or
talk about it. Because yeah, like, we are stuck with those decisions every day.
Yeah.
And people just think because you signed, they don't understand. You signed, but you still got to pick your spots. Like,
you have to pick your
spots. There might not be time for that yet.
No.
We might need to do this because we got to get you here. That's why right. I'm glad you focused on it, because the only choice that we all have, everybody in this room, you only have one choice: stay in it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's our only choice. It's like, you could be mad about it, you can hate it. I hate it sometimes, but you can't. You got to stay in it.
You have to stay in it.
Because if you don't stay in it, somebody's going to pass you. And mm-hmm. being in it is how you, like, it's like, dog, how many people going to McDonald's working their job that they hate that they got to stay in?
Exactly.
See what I'm trying to say? So it's going to be some shit with anything you encounter.
Which one is worth it for
which
you?
One is Which mm-hmm. one is the one that you are willing to go through the shit for?
And I tell people, like, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Do you want it? How bad do you want it at the mm-hmm. end of the day? And two, like, not even my frustration, but, you know, I cancel, like, a lot of the younger ones, and they might get a deal and they think, like, life is about to change. Everything is a process.
Mm.
You know, you have to be patient, and you have to be open to different perspectives, because everybody doesn't see things like you see them.
Gotcha.
You know, like, but it, you know, it's just all those things.
I agree. I want to ask you a question. Do you, because I know you're a lyricist, I know you write all your bars,
yeah.
I know you write everything. Because I work with writers and producers and creatives, I understand that there's an intent every time you put pen to paper.
Yeah.
Every time you go in a booth, it's an intent.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that you want to happen when you're in the booth? Because my last question is, and this is an Artist Spotlight question, so I have to ask you this. Do you care about making a hit?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like something that you're thinking about, or you just like, I'm gonna do me, and if the hit finds me, mm-hmm. it'll find me? Like, I'm just asking, because we can hear when the artist went in the studio and said, I'm gonna make a commercial record. Like when Jeezy goes in and does the Neo record, she said, we know that wasn't, we know the Snowman wouldn't do, but we understand what he was doing, so we let it pass. So just curious, like, what's your thoughts on making hits and attacking them? Like, how do you feel about that?
From I can only speak for me.
Yep.
For me in particular, it's all about making a great song for me.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a hit, then it's a hit. But I don't go in with that intention. It's all about, yo, I have something I want to say, you know. And what's going to be the best, you know, sonic.
The easiest way to say it.
For it, right? And you can have different ideas. Like, even with this project, because I tried so many new things. Raw, for example, with Lil Wayne on the record. there's two versions of that song, right? The original version that he wrote to mm-hmm. has a different sonic bed, and it's brighter, it has a bigger hook on it, you know, like it could be something that could be a little bit more commercial.
Exactly.
But then we did another version.
For the spitters.
And it's more of like having a cultural moment. So me and my manager were going back and forth because I love both versions. She was like, well, what you going to do? So, you know, it was like, do you want to have the cultural moment or do you want to try to have like a hit? And there was no real wrong answer. I was stuck in the middle. Some days I would be like cultural moment. Some days I would be like.
Culture.
You know.
Always pick culture over the hit.
Yeah.
Always pick culture over the hit because the cultural moments keep you ingrained into people. Mm-hmm. The hit, like there are people who have hits that people don't even recognize.
Right.
Bianca Noah, I'm talking about, like, it's some motherfuckers that got a hit that you like, I sing that. You sing that? You know what I'm saying? But then yeah. It's those cultural moments like that we remember that what you did. That's why I'm like, I will always go for, I don't even think that you should make hits.
Yeah. It wasn't even like, but the thing about it was, it wasn't like I went in as a hit. I just liked the song.
That's what I'm saying. But like, because I don't think Miss says you, don't. Okay, I'm about to say some shit. Hold on, like, I just had to take the room. I had to survey the room real quick. I don't know if the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill had any songs that felt like direct hits except for the remake. I love you, baby. Oh, that was, to me, it was like, I don't think you hear a song Zion about a son and you think that's going to be a hit.
Yeah, no.
But it was. That's what I mean by, I don't think Lauryn Hill was trying to make hits. I think she just poured her heart on her records and it registered. That's what I mean by, I don't think you should make hits. But I do think you should add melody.
Okay.
That's what I, that, if yeah, I, if, yeah. like on something from an A&R standpoint, my only thing would be like, cause it goes back to what you said about the pill in the applesauce.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like, I hate to reference this, but that's why Kendrick is so incredible.
He understands melody.
Yeah. So even when he goes at, even if he does a diss record against Drake, he still goes, yo, thump, thump, bum, 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 bum. And what he also did in Euphoria, if you pay attention, because it was 6 minutes of bars, every minute and a half, he gave you like a melodic, he'll stop and be like, you know, I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the way that you, I hate the way that you boom, the boom, the boom, boom. But that's the melody I'm speaking about. Like, so even if you don't follow the bars, you can follow that melody. Yeah. So that's what I tell any spitter, like, just find a way to just add a little melody every fourth bar on the songs that count. Mm-hmm. Or there's only two options for a spitter to make a hit. They either have to find melody or they have to slow it down. Mm-hmm. Like Hov, like when he was rapping, but when he goes from standing on the corners copping, dropping some of the hottest verse New York has ever seen, that ability to follow made it very easy for the audience. So I was a Jay-Z fan before that, but if you my mom or you somebody that don't like Jay-Z or don't care about him, you hear him rapping, you can easily, melody again. Right. It's a hard knock life.
That was his turning point.
Yeah, I mean, that was.
Yes.
That was part of like me learning the art of rhyme, and especially like, because before I was on some Reasonable Doubt. Yeah. Like, I need the craziest.
Yeah.
Ninth was like, yo, you have to learn how to be simple and complex at the same time, right? And the way you do that is you call it melody, we call it cadence.
Yes.
But, you know, melody is a little bit more melodic, of course, but it was still like, he references like rap, like when you learn your ABCs, when somebody tells you your phone number, it all has a cadence or a melody. You don't just sporadically go, my number is 919.
Yeah, you kind of say it like you're rapping it.
Yeah, like your ABCs and that ABCD, you just don't go well off. So you like, you have to approach music making the same way for that same reason.
Exactly.
You know, because you want people to be able to follow and memorize.
Exactly.
It. So absolutely. That's
this is a fact. I read this in a book. People remember what they hear not 10 times more than they remember what they see.
Yep.
So you can hear something like, you could play a Rob Bass song that I heard when I was a kid, but I can remember it. And I ain't heard it in 20 something plus years. But because, like you said, that cadence is drilled into the song's
and
DNA.
Sometimes people won't even remember the words, but they'll remember the cadence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was with Young DC Fly last night. We was on a joint. And he could not remember the name of this song. He couldn't remember the word. He was like, it go like, get it. Like, we're like, what are you talking about? Right? And we played a song, and it's the cadence he did, but instead of Skillet, he's saying Drift.
Yes.
Right? Or Killer. And I'm just like, oh, got you. But that's why cadence, melody, yes, slash is so important.
And by the way, and it also gives just some advice, like, because this is Artist Spotlight. It also gives the audience a chance, not the audience, not the fans.
Right.
Fans follow.
Yeah.
The audience hear. So it gives the audience something to remember, yeah, and leave with, where they like, they sing it in their head, like, what the fuck, yes, why is it stuck in my head? They can't, yes, help it. That's why I'm like, if it's melody for lyricists. If you could just like, even Talib Kweli, just to get by, just to get by. By. And then he said, this morning I woke up feeling, that's his biggest song. Look at every rapper, yeah, every lyrical rapper, biggest song, whether if it's Mos Def, I know I can't afford this.
It has melody.
It's melody in the DNA of the song, yeah, because the average fan might not care about the complicated uh-huh, rap style, but we like you. Yeah. So you give me a hook, I'll sing the hook, you rap the verses, now we all with you. So you know what I'm trying to say? But if the hook is lyrical as fuck too, like, and blah blah blah, blah, it's like, bro.
Bro, I cannot. I cannot.
I just wave at you when you do it. You know what I'm trying to say?
Like, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I would say. I would just say that would be my only thing, like, not for you, but just for any rapper in general.
Yeah.
Cause as much as we don't like, some people might say they tired of what Sexy Red does. You can't get it sexy.
Yeah, that's my joint.
You can't get that out your head. You can't get, that's what I'm saying. You can't get that line out your head though. Get it sexy. Get it sexy. You can't. It's like, bro. And by the way, the way she did it, it wasn't saying, get it her name. Every girl thinks she's sexy when they dance. So now I can say get it sexy to any girl, and it works.
Yeah.
That's why I work. So when I'm working with artists, I'm always like, I always say when I'm working with artists in the studio, I'm like, okay, what part of this song is for the fans? Mm-hmm. Like, what part of the song is when you go, and they go, I'm ready. Like, what part of the song do we put the mic out and they recite it word for word? And if it's like you're the director of your own song. Yeah. So you just got to think to yourself, like, the intro, the this, I make records for, I hate talking about it because I do it so much. Mm-hmm. So I'm tired of myself talking. I'd rather talk to you. Because once you understand the nuances in a hit, it's so easy. It's just, it's mathematics, mm-hmm, it's melody. That's it. It's mathematics and melody. And if you can remember the melody part and the mathematics, and you make sure that it comes every time. You just met my daughter. When she was 4 years old, I used to play Boosie, Wipe Me Down. Right, mm-hmm, don't judge. Cause I'm hyping my little, I'm, like, raps, I'm hyping up, I'm like, wipe me down. Yeah. Like, I'm just doing, that's what I'm really doing, hyping her up. Like, you so clean, wipe me down. But what I realized playing Wipe Me Down for a four-year-old was how important mathematics is. Mm-hmm. So the song goes, I pull up in the club, VIP, gas tank on, Eva, all drinks on me. Wipe me down. Yeah. Casting, boom, boom, down the seat, everything,
wipe me down.
So she was singing that, she was four, I was like, well, you can't dodge a hit. If it's in the DNA of the sound, you can't lose with it, because I'm going to remember it.
Right.
So that's what I was saying. Mm-hmm. So are there any, I want to ask you, because I put you on the spot. Are there any dream collabs? Are there anybody out there that you feel like, hey, if you're listening, call my people. I want to do something with you.
That's a lot of people.
I want to hear them.
I love working with artists. Lauryn Hill's forever at the top of my list. But Solange as well. Gucci Mane is on my list.
What?
Yeah, you talking about? I like
Gucci and Rhapsody. That sounds kind of interesting.
Fire, what you mean?
that would be, but it got to be a fun song though.
Yeah,
it got to be so much fun.
Yeah, but Gucci could probably not think it.
No, but what I mean by so much fun is like, I feel like you want to do a record with Gucci. It to me is like, okay. How do you see you and Gucci interacting on the song? Because he's fun. Like, he's always like, you know what I'm saying? He don't take himself serious. That's why I was like, I would love to hear y'all on the song.
Yeah.
You should do an album. Never mind, go ahead, finish.
I'm gonna get what the, was you about to, I should do a
I'm
what?
Finish name. I'm going to give you some ideas. But finish name. I want to give you some ideas.
Yo, you a funny guy. Andre 3000 is on my list. John Mayer is on my list. Pharrell. That's enough right now.
Pharrell can happen. I would love to see you on Pharrell. Yeah. Y'all would make some "We Gonna Be All Right" type shit. Like, what? Y'all gotta get in the studio. Big D, we gotta make Bianca. What we doing? We gotta get it with Pharrell like ASAP.
Right.
I know somebody. I can get you. I can get you for real. I connect you with my guy. KP works with for real. I can just put that together.
I mean, that's all I'm thinking of right off the top of my head.
I would want to see you do a record with Missy.
I was about to say Missy next. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I want her to remix Black Pop Star with me.
By the way, I told Shari and Omar, I heard the album and I heard Black Pop Star, and I was like, you, shout out to Dixon, y'all killed it.
Thank you.
And to me, what I liked about it was like taking ownership of where we are today and like just really on some like, nah, nigga. Nigga, we, you know what I'm saying? That's what I love about that shit. I think Missy would be perfect for that shit. I like to see you work with Missy.
Yeah,
I feel like you'll do something dope to me with Chris Brown. Like, I feel like
that would be fire.
Because I feel like you have this ill voice, this ill approach. And to me, I would just want to add the people that's going to just bring that other melody that you probably wouldn't do on a song. It's a rap.
Come on, what's up? A&R me up.
We're going to set it up.
Yeah.
Any producers you want to work with?
I was talking to Cardo. Yesterday, so he know. I mean, Pharrell on a producer tip. Trying to think of the new Metro would be fire.
What?
Metro would be fire, for sure. Me and Mustard did something. It's just not out. I want to do more with Mustard.
Though. Love Mustard.
I want to do more with Hit-Boy, of course. I work with so many people. Q-Tip would be dope.
Q-Tip be hard.
That stuff. Who am I missing?
You should do a series of albums. That's what you should do.
Did Sherry tell you I hit her and I wanted to do?
I swear to God, but can I tell you something?
I wanted to do 3 albums in 1 year because I got this emotional one. I'm from North Carolina. Yeah. The sticks.
Yes.
Like I want to give them fun, energetic me, and I'm just She's like, not 1 year though.
So here's why I say that. So if you pay attention to like what the artists who don't get oversaturated but saturate the market do. They find unique ways of giving you music that has nothing to do with the original way they did it, right?
Right.
So like say to me it's like, I feel like you should do 3 albums, right? I think you should do one with classics, like an album with you and Q-Tip, you and Busta, you and Pharrell, you and Missy, like just a classic album, like what would Rhapsody and 8 songs with 8 legends sound like, right? Mm-hmm. Then you do one with females, right? Just like on some rap female shit or whatever that's called. And then the third one to me is the one that I would want to work on, because the third one is called, to me, it would be called Sophisticated Ignorance.
What?
Yes. And it would be you making records with niggas that like a Gucci. That be on that ignorant street shit.
Mm-hmm.
So like you kind of bring that. So you kind of let them bring that ignorance, right? Like if I'm being honest with you, the greatest Sophisticated Ignorance song of all time was Like That.
Was that song?
Yes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like That. Future and Kendrick. Like Future's talking about fucking hoes and all that other shit, and Kendrick comes with the bars, but it works though.
Talking out they mouth, don't pull a comfort out your neck.
What? No, I'm saying like Future's talking about like, you know, like all his bitches and all that shit, and then here come Kendrick just giving you like that shit was so. I have not been that satisfied listening to a rap song ever.
Yeah, you get a lot of what you.
The only other song I've ever felt like that for was International Players Anthem.
Yeah.
That like Andre, it's like everything. It's like you got the gentleman verse,
marriage.
You got the pimp coming on, and then you got Big Boy, then you got boy, it's like perfect. And then you got 3-6 Mafia on the production.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. For me, I feel like what the mistakes artists are making is, and I don't know if this is you, but this could be you. The only you know is you, but I feel like artists, they put themselves in a pocket.
They do.
And they say, this is the pocket that I sit in, and this is the pocket that I exist in. And in my mind, it's like, you don't have to exist there.
Yeah.
Like, you can go fuck with that girl over there or that guy. But it doesn't matter, because everybody, it's not like it's one main audience. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, Hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's right. Pockets of audience now. So you really just trying to take their pocket. They might take your pocket, but you guys are like bringing each other's audience to the table, and they discovering you and you discovering them, and that's how you got to break now. I tell her, I'm like, collaboration is the key to breaking now. Mm-hmm. Like, I ain't going to go there. But I'll say this. Like, to me, Kevin Hart was kind of falling off. Mm-hmm. And then when he did that Tom Brady
event,
it was kind of like he was like fire. Mm-hmm. Like,
got his mojo back. Got
it, but it was a collaboration. It was like, I'm going to do something for Tom Brady. And it worked. To me, for artists like yourself, for artists that want to work, period, it got to be collaboration. So I would put a list that, because you got to look at how it's working. Like, they have their social media. Their Spotify is their social media. And everything is just separate. So how can you pop up on Kendrick's page unless it's you and him releasing it together?
Yeah, I just learned about that. I don't care about those things until it's time to care about those.
When for sure.
Yeah, when I'm creating, it's just really about the art and the story you want to tell. But I understand, like, if you have certain, you know, things to check off on your list that may be more intentional for you to do. You know, but I mean, what you're saying is super true. Like, but from my perspective, how I look at it is I learn the most by working with different people.
Exactly.
You know, like, you know, but yeah.
No, no. So,
where you spot on though?
Well, like, because for me, that was my idea. Obviously, it's not me, but I like the emotional.
Yeah.
I like the sticks.
Yeah.
Because, right, we just have to find a way to do it for cheap. Mm-hmm. And bear to send it to who it's for.
Sure. Yeah.
As long as you, but the albums are hit different marks.
Yeah, yep.
That's what people don't understand. Man, like, you got to hit them.
Yep.
They gave them a 5-piece.
Yeah.
Gave them, and I'm like, it might not be a whole album. It might just be
a 2-pack.
Yeah, like five songs for South Carolina. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my love letter, South Carolina. It might not go no bigger than the Carolinas, but that's what we need. We don't care about that because you can go do shows and they gonna love you for that. So to me, it's like.
That's what Kendrick did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Organically though.
Yeah.
He worked with everybody. So.
Yeah, you just add everything to the table. So if in the next, the dog is comfortable as fuck, right?
Very comfortable.
I want the dog's life. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you. I want Fendi's life. I want Fendi's life.
Hi.
She's up. She's relaxing.
But she's not dead.
She's not dead.
But so 18 months from now, we're going to watch this interview in 18 months.
Okay.
What do we want to have happened in those 18 months?
Oh, man.
Like, some benchmarks, some points we want to reach.
You see, you may be disappointed in this album.
No, I don't. I want you.
Whatever. Like, I'm, like, so free in this moment. Like, yeah. I used to do this before, but this album, I'm just so free and unplugged. I tell people, like, I have no expectations for this album.
Mm.
Like, I made the art that I wanted to make. And whatever it does, I receive it, you know.
So you're on a journey.
I'm on a journey. Like, you know, I hope that, you know, I put out something that connects with people first.
Yes.
That connects with people so much that people want to recognize it at a Grammys,
mm-hmm.
at an NAACP Image Award, at a Soul Train Award, at a BET Award, that, you know, I can have a successful world tour, you know, that you can do all these things, that it opens up inspiration for people like whoever, Gucci or Warner, yeah. work with me.
Yes.
Like, those are the things. But if anything, it's just like, yo, I just want to connect with people and inspire them. That's my only thing. Like, you know, other than that, like, I have my own goals. Like, you know, I'm like on to the next album, and like, I want to get in the film world. And you know, I have a label now with a business partner, Andre Mego, and I have an artist. Like, now, how can I, everything I've learned, and I've, you know,
I gotta hear, I want to hear about this. That's interesting.
How can I pour into him? How can I, you know, make his path a little easier than mine? Because I know more now, right?
Yeah.
So all those things.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And let me tell you, when you have an artist, it's a different mental bag.
Please elaborate. I want you to elaborate a little bit. Like, how was that? I want you to tell me. How was that to sit in Shari's seat? How was that? I want to know.
Man, it's like me and my business partner, we joke. It's like we're mommy and daddy, okay?
Yes.
You know? But he's, for one, he's an amazing talent. Yep. And he's an amazing human being. His name is Nico Brim.
Okay. I know Nico Brim. That's
yeah,
JoJo's son.
JoJo Brim and Misa Hilton.
Yeah, Misa Hilton's son. Yeah, that's, yeah, I know JoJo. His dad, we used to work at Epic together.
Yeah, so that's my first artist. So it could be like, because I remember being him and being excited about everything.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, in the past, he's doing a lot better now. I have to tell him, like, yo, I know you're excited, but be patient.
Yeah.
Like, don't jump the gun on this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because he's so smart and mm-hmm. for, he's, you know, just.
And he's been around it, by the way.
Yes,
he's been around
it
his whole life.
And he's been indie, so he's been doing things by himself for a long time. And then we come in and want to help. And early on, it would be like, you know, he's used to moving by himself and doing things. And, you know, it'd be like, yo, let's slow down for a minute. Like, let's all have communication. Let's all be on the same page. And let me know, like, talk to me about your ideas so I can see where I can help set up things,
yeah.
You know. And for me, teaching him, like, yo, we have to, when you release projects, let's look like 12 months down the road and really set it up, you know, and not be so in a rush. Like, I made this thing. I'm ready for people to hear it. Let's put it out. Like, you know, and I'm teaching him about PR and how, you know, how beneficial that is, you know, and marketing and rolling it out and how you tell the story and have a connection with your fans. Like, so it's, you know, it's just a process. And financially, you know, you got to pour in, and, you know, about budgets and what makes sense to spend money on.
What?
And what doesn't make sense to spend
money
on.
So now you understand the publicist, when they did, you understand that's not needed right now.
He's so creative. He's like, yo, I want to shoot a video for this song, this song. I was like, let's shoot a video for this song, this song. Let's put this money and get another month of PR. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's exciting. Like,
that's really dope.
Exciting to learn.
But that's dope because if more labels were ran like that, we would have smarter and better artists.
Yeah.
But they let the artist act like a child. Right. The artist come, I want to go to the moon. We're going to get you to the moon. And then they leave the room and they'd be like, how the fuck? He wants to go to the moon. Does anybody have a contact at the moon? Like, anybody can get him there? It's like, nigga, why you ain't tell him that? Because sometimes you got to sit him down and say, why you want to go to the moon? Like, why are you aiming for that? Because when you work with artists, it's all about, like, you guys are the most gentle, sensitive human beings on earth. And it's like grown children, not being funny, but it's kind of it's grown children because I mean, be honest with you, that's what makes artists great, because they're still dreaming.
That's, you know, I used to do it tonight. Like, I would always start big, like, I want to work with this person, I want to do this, I want this, and that's just what it was. So it's a crazy balance.
How is it working with Knife and Guru? Like, how is that? Like, those dudes are like, what's Samuel Jackson's character name on Avengers?
Nick Fury.
Those niggas is like,
they're all seeing, they see
like,
everything.
They're like,
around.
They're like Yoda. Nick Fury, of both of them. Are like one is teaching the class. They both teaching classes. Like, they, like, you gotta understand, they're both like, they're both pretty much black music professors.
Professors.
Yes.
And you're in business. How is that creative process? How does that work? Knife Wonder seems very like subdued, very calm when he speaks. When I seen Guru speak, I see him. He seems to like be like kind of turned up. So
he's,
I'm like, how is it that? How is that?
It's exciting, man. It's big brothers. They both have really big personalities.
Yes.
and they're so intelligent, so they have big eye, like they teach you everything. Too, right?
Yep.
And I can remember like in some mixing sessions, like it might be something about the song, and they'll get into a back and forth like of their like, perspective on it.
Yeah.
And it's my song, and I'll be waiting to like I want to share my idea, but it's just so much energy, so I just sit back and just let them do their thing. Right. It's so funny, but you know they're both very very humble.
Yes.
So it's a dope balance, man. They just very passionate.
Yes.
But they're very intelligent. You know, they prepare me so well. They've never.
What's the best advice Guru gave you? What's the best advice Knife gave you?
Oh, still to this day, the very best advice Guru has given me was the very first time I met him in person.
Yep.
2010, yep. I think it was, maybe 2009. Before I put out any music, he sat down and he looked me in the face and he was like, "Today, I want you to define the line that you will not cross."
Mm. What does that mean?
That means that, like, you have to sit and think who you are, how you want to show up, like, what you're not willing to compromise in this business.
Define the lines you won't cross. You know what I say?
So you don't lose yourself.
I say define the character.
That part.
See, it's like mm-hmm. they're way more educated.
He said something important.
They make it sound so big.
You say this is the freest you've ever been.
Yeah.
As artists, how did you get to that point?
I had to really unplug, you know, from the matrix. That's what I call it. You know, like you come into this business very innocent because you're just a kid watching videos, and you're like, I want to do that. All I got to do is make great music.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's gonna sign me, and you like you get in the business, and you it's like the odds. Like you really see how things work. And it's not how you ever thought mm-hmm. it was. And then you go through it and, you know, then you start worrying about, like, streaming. Like, in today's time, streaming numbers, followers, billboards, like, all these things. Like, what defines success? Who, you know, Grammys. I'm not validated if I don't have these things. And, you know, in my healing, I had to unplug and be like, you have to validate yourself.
Mm.
All of those other things are blessing. But you have to define what success is for you. And to see, like, the facade of it all.
I was about to say focus on what you can control.
Yes.
Because a lot of that shit is out of your control. It's time
and it's not all real all the time. Mm-hmm. Like it's false and it's illusion.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like you might have 20 million followers, but it's because they're entertained. It's not because they're invested in you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
So, that's a jewel right there.
God damn. Right. And again, you might be entertained, right. but they're not invested
in you. Is you know, you got all these followers and you put out music and it sells very poorly.
Yeah. I think the problem is, here's what I think the conundrum is with the world. Mm-hmm. The talented artists, the real talented artists like yourself, I'm just speaking out because I'm in it. This ain't you, Bianca. I'm looking like get her. I'm just no, but the real talented artists, they don't usually do the outside work. They're introverted. They know themselves. Yeah. They're emotionally vulnerable. They actually know how the toll of an interaction with another human is. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm gonna have to give that person 13% of my energy right now, and I'll have 87. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, they understand it. Those are those artists. And then there are these artists that understand social media.
Mm-hmm. Marketing.
The artists that understand social media need to be focusing on making better music.
Right.
And the artists that understand making better music need to focus on social
branding
media.
Branding and marketing, yeah.
That's really the hard part, right? That's the hard part. So it's like, I'm not that. It's like, no. You have to be that. And if we pay attention, we know what's more important. It's fucked up. But
yeah.
marketing is.
It's marketing.
Oh, yeah.
The bullshit is winning over the good shit because the bullshit is being pushed, marketed, content made around it, all types of wild shit that makes it work. So mm-hmm. to me, it's like, you just have to decide that part. What was your, and what was Guru's advice?
That was Guru's advice.
Oh, so he said, what lines don't we want to cross?
Yeah, like define that. Knife was, you know, he said, we're not going to focus on, he's like, it's like a pot. And you don't want to be the person there. Everybody's in the same pot trying to go after the same 20, 30, 40, 50 million people.
Mm.
You're all rustling for their attention. He was like, rap, focus on your people. And it may only be 200,000 people, but you'll have them for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that will sustain you. You will eat off that for the rest of your life instead of chasing these same 50 million people.
You're building.
Yeah, you know, and that was the best advice. You know, and that's how we kind of approached this marketing for this album. Like, you know, it was like, yo, let's just focus on the super fans.
Yeah.
And build from
Let's
there.
Not try to go into other places. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I, most of the time, the problem is that we, so this is what I would tell you. Your career is the journey. Your career is the journey. Most people think their career is spots you stop at. No, your career is the journey. Mm-hmm. While on the journey, you have to explore. It's like you're on the yellow brick road looking for the Wizard of Oz, right? And you're gonna run into characters that you'll be like, I would never ran into a character like you if I wasn't on this yellow brick road. But since we're here, what? How can I see myself? Because the reality, like I said, you have to. It's an inch by inch game now. Yeah. But every day you have to gain an inch, and you have to figure out, like, you might run into somebody that's not in your world. Right. But it's like, what can we do? Like, what can we do? Like, maybe we just have a conversation.
Yep. It can be as simple as that.
Yeah. Like, I would pay to have a conversation. See a conversation with you and two other successful female MCs. Mm-hmm. I would actually pay to see that, because that's to me is like. Like, give me a, like, let me into the thought process. Let me understand it better, because I'm not a female, so I don't get that. So let me understand it better. I don't want to see no men talk, because I understand the male mind, because I'm a male, but I would love to see you talking to another famous female rapper about, and I know you don't like that, because I know you are MC. No, I saw you in the Breakfast Club. It was like, I'm a rapper. I'm like, no, but I'm just, but
it's a context, it's a context thing for me, right?
Yes.
It's not that I all the way hate. I understand when it's used as a light, like, because we are underrepresented. Not so much now, like, we have an amazing season. But when it's used to, like, separate you, like, oh, they just female rappers.
Yes.
I don't rock with that.
That's no, I get that. But what
I understand what you're saying.
I like that, by the way.
It's light, yes, what you're saying.
But for me, I would tell you, don't run from what it is. Mm-hmm. As big as Drake is, he says nigga, he's black, but there's a Jewish side to him and that embraced the fuck out of him, right? He could have easily said, you know, I'm black, blah, blah, blah. But, and what I mean by that is, like, your superpower is your superpower. Mm-hmm. And I always tell artists, don't run from it, even if you want to say, I don't want to be it. Stay with it though. Like, this is, I'm more than this. I know you see a woman, but nigga, bring her. I want to battle a nigga right now.
That part.
Well, bring your best nigga. Let me, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I get that part. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But just the insight to the thought process, the insight, because, like, men owe women, male hip hop owes women an apology. Because for the first 40 years of hip hop, we treated women like an accessory, not like a partner. And now women are taking over. And I think a lot of men are kind of like lost in the sauce. But nigga, that was a whole audience. That was people in the audience that didn't see themselves that now do.
Right.
And now they like, sit down, nigga. you go home if you want. I'm me and my girl. You know what I'm trying to say? So it's like, so that's why I say embrace it. Like embrace it, because there are a lot of male bars, but how many females got bars? Like, embrace the superpower. I know it's hard, but it is what separates you from everybody else. It's your story. It's the difference makers that separate you from everybody else. And a lot of artists don't run to that. Like, and I worked with Akon. Akon would tell me, he would always speak about Rock City, and he would be like, they need to use their accents. And I'm like, no, but they could talk like Americans. And he'd be like, no, that accent is gonna take them across the world. And if they don't use that, and by the way, we didn't. You know what I'm saying? And when we finally did, we went across the world. Yep. But
Timo and I talked about that.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. By the way, the reason why we're so good is because we were always on the journey, and because we could do so much, we thought we were those things. And then you realize what they saw. So when they got signed to RCA, I remember we put out this record with 2 Chainz, and RCA wasn't working it. And I got pissed. I'm like, yo, I'm like, P-Dez, why the fuck y'all not working this record? It's a hit. And he was like, why would we spend money for Rock City, for our city, on the urban panel? They're not an urban group. My initial reaction is, how the fuck, they black.
Yeah, what you mean?
How they not urban? Yeah. And then he said, black isn't urban. Mm-hmm. Urban is a sound.
Yes.
Then I was like, damn. He said, K Camp is urban. Yo Gotti is urban. Mm-hmm. He said, and then I went to Tehran and them, and I was like, y'all not urban. And I remember I said to him, I said, if Yo Gotti came on the radio and Shaggy came on the radio, who would we follow?
Shaggy.
And they said, Shaggy. I said, that's who the fuck we are.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, we made a hit. We made a whole lot of money. It was easy. My advice, I tell every artist, the most important thing that makes Big D, Bianca, I don't give a fuck who you are, the one thing that makes everybody in the music industry job easier is when an artist knows their direction. Mm-hmm. Like, the hardest part is going into the room saying to an artist, this is, say, no, not saying to an artist, saying to their partners, she's a rapper. She's hard. She's a spitter. She's this. It would be so easy to say, she's if Lauryn Hill and Nicki Minaj had a baby. Mm-hmm. Like now it's like, okay, press play. And if they hear that, they like, oh, now they run with it. Mm-hmm. But I can't explain something to you if you don't understand it.
Yeah.
So as an artist, as long as you know your A&R direction, you will be successful.
I know that. B, we know that. Like,
look at B. B like, yeah.
I think that's the beautiful part. Because I've done so much healing and I got to reintroduce myself to me and really know, like, who are you, right? That's why this campaign has been so successful. Mm. Because it's so authentic, so real. I know what I'm giving you. I know who I am. I know what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And it has translated with people like I've never, ever seen anything I've ever dropped.
And by the way, I seen it when you walked through the door. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been doing this long enough. I'm like, okay, she's on her ascension.
Yeah.
I could see, because the look, the everything, it's like, no, this is me.
Yeah.
Like, but that works. I don't care if that works. Mm-hmm. This is me. And I'm going to do me, and either it's going to work or it's not. But I'm not going to chase that.
No.
No. Yeah. That's why I say the most important thing is knowing where you're going. You don't have to know how far it is, but you got to know the direction. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
A&R direction. That's why I say that.
Because
it's like, you know, like you wouldn't believe how many people they've sent to us. And they was like, we don't know what to do with them. And I'm like, you signed somebody, you don't know what to do with them. Then I'm sitting in the room with the artist and I'm like, and I'm going to ask you a question. I wasn't going, but I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
I ask every artist on Artist Spot like this. If there's a hit record in the last 20, I'm going to make it easier for you because 10 is hard. I used to say 10. A hit record in the last 20 years that you was like, that you heard, that you said, I'll be okay with that being my record. Mm-hmm. A hit though, not something you liked.
Mm-hmm. It's 2024, so since 2004.
Four. You say since the 2000s.
I mean, you could pick anyone of Kendrick Joyce, to be honest with you. I feel like we kind of parallel in who
Which
we are.
One? Give me one. Give me one that you heard that you like, ooh, give me that.
It's probably between We Gonna Be All Right and Humble.
Mm. When we start the next studio, when you go to studio next, I have some ideas for her.
Okay.
No, because We Gonna Be All Right, I would tell an artist, let's take that sentiment, mm-hmm. and how would you say we gonna be all right?
That part, yeah. You have to make it your own.
If it might be, I wanna be free, or I'm gonna be, whatever it is. Mary J. Blige said, I'm doing just fine, right? Everybody has their way of saying, we gonna get to the other side of this. So then I would say, how would you say it? Right. Then I would reverse engineer around the song. Cause then it's like, whatever those words are, those words might be emotional. Those words might be like, nigga, get up your ass, then it might be fun. Then you reverse engineer. So that's why I say. So I would say we're gonna be all right too.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
If that was your record.
That's an easy question.
Oh my God. If that was your record. Can we make one?
Yeah.
I would make one with you. I swear to God.
I'm gonna be here tomorrow with T and Teron.
We making a record tomorrow. Yeah. I'm gonna tell the producer, because I know what made that record special. It's the emotion and the beat. Oh my life, I had to fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, nigga, if God got us, then we
gonna be all right.
Oh my God, you're so amazing.
Thank you.
Rick, you got any questions? I'm sorry, I'm just a fan.
I'm just a fan
of yours. I'm fanning out right now because you really are.
You make me feel happy.
And because I want you to win so bad because I have a daughter. I have more than one daughter. Mm-hmm. And I want them to see that you can be that. You don't have to show your ass to be that. You can use this to be that. And nothing against the people that show their ass. I just don't want that for my kids. And
that's a big sentiment I hear. I get in my DMs a lot. I get tweeted a lot. Thank you because you give me something to play for my daughter or something that we can both share and have a connection over.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the biggest compliments that people give me.
It's what's needed right now.
Yes.
It's what's needed. Rick, anything? I'm like...
Change of pace, it's a balance. You can see.
Oh, I got one more question. Go ahead.
You can see, you can, like he said, you can feel your aura when you come in, and it seems like everybody's really receiving you now. Yeah. Over the last several months that I've been seeing, mm-hmm. knowing you've been doing your thing for several years.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, I'm happy, and congratulations to you for that.
Thank you.
It's like you said, it's very well needed. You know, we've been in a space where we've had a lot of female rappers that were kind of the same and on the same plane, and it just is refreshing.
Yeah.
To have something very different.
Yeah, it feels like it's time. Even during this project, we talk about it, me and Bianca, my manager, like the energy feels different for me right now, and I think it's a culmination of a few things. I don't think I was ready to receive it before. I wasn't.
That's
right?
True. I see what you're saying. Yep.
You know, you have to be ready for these things. I had to do the work. I had to heal. I had to, you know, reframe my thinking, yeah, right?
For sure.
Unplug and really be able to receive it. But everybody has their time. I've been trying to work with Badu for a minute. She knows how much I love her. But, you know, I'm patient. Like, yeah. And when I hit her this time, she called me one day, and I told her, I was saying, like, thank you for saying yes. And she said, it's time.
Yeah.
Like, she knew it before I even knew it.
Things start falling in line for you. Yeah. It's like you just look up and everything is, I feel like that's the moment you're in right now. That's why I'm like, because I feel like the bubble has busted on music, and now the gold rush is over. From the 2020 to now, I feel like everybody was getting rich because they're streaming, making millions of dollars and getting $4 or $5 million deals. And I think that has ended now. And now it's time for real shit to come back. Mm-hmm. And at least I know the media is tired of it. So I feel like all media outlets going to want to talk to you. Everybody, please send her. Please. Because you don't want to support. I just don't want to perpetuate that.
Right.
I know what that does to our community, because I know I'm from that community. Right. And I know just a couple of records out, just the rap shit that men were saying. When men were saying, pop that pussy. I remember what that did. Now women are saying, pop your pussy. It's like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Nigga, we are tripping. Grandma's out there saying it. Pop that pussy, baby. Pop that pussy, grandbaby. Like, it's like, my nigga, we got some shit going on. Like, y'all know kids are watching, right? Last question.
Okay.
Five, top five MCs. You are a bars girl. You are a bars MC.
Yeah.
And I want to hear your top five.
Jay-Z, Lil Wayne.
Number one, Hov. Okay, it's not no order.
No order.
You know, you can do order.
Okay. I'm saying, because Jay-Z is, if anybody has Jay-Z not their top one, I can't respect him.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm being honest with you. He's not the one I can't respect. Unless it's Biggie or Pac. But.
Yeah, no, Jay-Z is my one.
Jay, for sure.
Lil Wayne, Kendrick Lamar, Andre 3000, and Lauryn Hill.
Now you're an MC, so I'm gonna take it a little further. I've never done this before. Ooh, I'm gonna do something to you.
First,
I'm gonna do something. You don't have to recite it, but I want you to tell me your personal favorite verse from them.
Each one of them?
If you can.
Jay-Z
is hard.
Because he got so many.
There's a lot of them.
I don't have a favorite.
Yeah, it's like.
Okay, we'll
favorite Jay-Z song. How about that? Favorite whole song.
Bro, really?
Allure.
That's your all-time Allure. Favorite?
That's yours? It's Allure?
What?
Dope record.
What?
I don't have a
That's
favorite.
The end to the movie. That's the end to the movie. He says it. Still, I know how this movie ends. That was like, to me, that was the end of the Rockefeller era, that song. And then Rock Nation started the next album. To me, that was how Rockefeller ended to me, like Allure.
It's funny, one of my favorite records is also on that album, but it's in the beginning. What more can I say? Well, so, yes. Yes.
I don't know how y'all do. I got like, Pop died, didn't cry, didn't know him that well. Between them doing heroin and me moving crack cells, with that in the eggshell, standing at the tabernacle, rather the church, pretending to be hurt wouldn't work. So a smirk was always on my face, like, damn, that man's face is just like my face. Mm. So Pops, I forgive you for all the shit that we've been through. It wasn't your fault, homie, you got caught into the same game that Uncle Ray lost. Let me tell you,
that nigga is so hard, bro.
Ridiculous.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie, home is so hard, nigga. That nigga is so hard. Yo,
in my lifetime, it's the thought of a ride that make my eyes dry.
That's garage.
I'm trying to make all my things materialize. So I sort of say my goodbyes to the straight and narrow.
Man,
look,
his verse, on. How he starts.
That's up there for
ambitious.
Me too. That song that she just said ambitious. In my lifetime is up there.
I'm not so inspired by what my teacher said. He said, even being dead or a reaper. I'm not sure this is how you an adult supposed to teach the kids. When he said something, I'm a teacher, especially all I did was talk in class, I teach his ass. I love that nigga, bro. Like, how do you not love that nigga as a
whole? Right, that's my
that nigga is so.
Right. It's too many.
It's too real.
Bro.
Like, so it's hard to give a whole verse.
From starting a reasonable doubt to now, what are we talking about?
It's a lot,
about?
Man. It's a lot. It's
what
a lot of them.
About?
It's a lot of
Who
them.
Else you say?
It's
Wayne. Give me a Wayne crazy. Song.
Oh.
He got a lot too.
Honestly, like, my favorite one is Bloodline, which was on 500 Degrees.
Yeah.
Like, it's not coming to me now. I have to get the first bar. I got pimping in my bloodline, and then like I don't know, but he has so many too.
Yeah, I think the only thing that Wayne is because he's Southern, his vernacular will kind of, you got to listen.
The bars are still tremendous.
It's tremendous, but you got to listen, because if you listen to him, you realize that he probably is. Him and Jay-Z are probably the two most versatile rappers to ever live.
One A and one B.
It's like, because they can do party, they can do street, they can tell stories.
Whatever.
It's pain music, whatever you, like hustler music.
Don't matter.
That is whatever. Funny. You took
that Wayne era?
Yes.
However you want it, you can get it. They one A and one B.
What?
And the consistency. Wayne been doing this since he was 13 years old. He's 41. At an elite level.
At an elite level.
What are we talking about?
And by the way,
about?
When he was 14, had niggas, he created lingo in the dictionary at 14. Bling, bling.
Bling, bling.
Come on, nigga.
Hey, he's really an alien.
Pipes, big rims, nigga, that's my life. That nigga was 14, nigga. Come on. Like, bro, I don't think, who was the other two? So Wayne.
Kendrick.
I think he proved that in the last month and a half that no one in the world can fuck with him currently. I feel like every MC in America was like, yes, like, yes, like finally, like, you
I
know,
had a great time. I was enjoying the show.
I feel like every MC in America, but he it's hard with him too, because the thing I like about him, the thing I like about all three so far to me is that they can rap, but they can make songs.
Yeah,
because that damn album, that Love record, and it's so sincere though. Like that's what makes it dope, and loyalty.
Yeah, it's too many.
I'm sorry.
Well, probably one of my favorite verses though is probably one of the heart joints. I don't know which one.
I'm gonna tell you this. I'm gonna say something very bold. What? I have been thinking about this for at least 2 or 3 weeks now. Euphoria is the greatest diss song of all time.
I don't know if I could go there.
Listen to me. Hear me out. This nigga rapped for 6 minutes straight, my nigga. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like, you gotta understand something. Like, I went back and listened to Takeover. I went and listened to Ether. Like, Nas had some whack bars in there. He was like, your book lips. Like, nigga, you got big lips. Was that Jay-Z or Jazz? Like, he wasn't really eating it. It was just, he was going at the king.
The beat was so
hard. And the beat was hard.
So many things
the concept Ether, we didn't know what that meant.
It was dropped on his Jay's birthday.
It was a lot, but I'm saying.
But just straight
when
up.
You go bars. Listen to, and I thought it was Hit Him Up. I thought it was Tupac Hit Him Up.
Yeah, it was so direct. And
it was just like,
so direct.
Yo, bitch, you fat. Yes. Like, it was like, damn, nigga, you hate that nigga for Westside, Bad Boy. Yes. Nigga, you know it's a hard diss record because we know the ad libs.
Yes.
Chino
yes.
XL, fuck you too.
You it was nigga, violent. And we liked it.
What? What? So I thought that Hit Him Up was number one, but I think Euphoria is number one because dog, the way he starts.
Yo, the melody.
It's three songs in one, my nigga. It's three songs. And then it's the way he starts. He starts real beautiful when you hear it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, start making that noise. You know how hard it is to rap that hard for 6 minutes, my nigga? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, in every bar matters. I can't.
You got something to say. It ain't that hard.
My nigga. And then the end, we don't want to hear you saying like, nigga no more. Another hook at the end, like nigga.
I played that and Not Like Us back to back.
This is what I say is the best. As big as any, this is the biggest beef anybody has ever went against. It's the two biggest. Because when Jay and Nas went at it, it was Jay was the nigga and Nas, it was New York. It was really about New York. Mm-hmm. That was what it was about. Because if you like Nas, you like Nas, you like Jay, but this right here, we just saw that bars killed the pop star. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying he can't come back,
right.
But I'm saying, what you gonna say the when you come back, my nigga? Because niggas is gonna be looking at you like, hey, nigga, you can't, you know, Ice Cube had to fight Debo.
Sure did.
Hey, nigga, in the black community, nigga, Ice Cube had to fight Debo, nigga.
You can't
hey,
run
nigga,
from that.
You can't run from can't that, run from nigga. That. You can't just come back dropping hits like you didn't just get your ass handed to you by this.
You will not be received the same.
You're not going to be received the same. So it's kind of like, what do you do?
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, that's why I think it was, because he really took, like that, Not Like Us just was like, cherry on top.
Yeah,
it was like, bitch, I can make hits too, nigga. But I wanted to
he saved that for last.
I needed to dish you, though. Yeah. I had to think, I hate you, nigga. Hate the way niggas say, we even hate the bitches they fuck with because they make you like, nigga.
Now he undressed them.
Real women.
Like, We like real, like what, like dog? Best diss song ever. I can't even believe, like, it's gonna take 10 years for everybody to start saying it, but we're never gonna see nothing like that song.
Yeah.
The way he raps, as soon as we done filming, I'm playing that shit. I cannot believe that this nigga.
Hey, cue that up.
Like, cue that shit the fuck up. Cue that shit the fuck up. So give me two more.
Yeah. Who I said?
Kendrick Wayne.
Lauryn Hill.
Oh, Andre 3000.
And Andre.
Lauryn.
Andre 3000. I want to go there.
I play my enemies like a game of chess where I rest. No stress if you don't smoke cess. Yes, I must confess my destiny's manifest in some Gore-Tex and sweats. I make tracks like I'm homeless. Rap orgy before
you sound so good rapping it. No, she sound good rapping it. Like, bro, you have to, like, bro, we have to. It's time. Like, come on. Like, don't stop. Like, I'm glad you did that. Give me Dre. One from Dre.
Andre 3000. That's a hard one, too. I think it has to be like the international.
I was gonna say, I think international players anthem. His verse on that song to me is the most sincere, most gentleman-like verse.
No, my favorite one is
Can't Wait.
My Party.
Oh,
Beyonce.
What?
That is my favorite Andre 3000 verse of all time.
My nigga, that shit give me goosebumps because he's so sincere.
Bro.
Talking about two dead mothers, like what?
No.
Life for the party.
He left Earth. No.
So he left Earth.
I would say, aren't that tell you? Go listen to Stankonia.
That's crazy.
Gangsta Shit album. Stankonia album is a song called Gangsta Shit. Andre goes last.
No, I heard that.
Outcast with a K, and them niggas is hard. Yeah. Harder than a nigga trying to impress God. We'll pull your whole deck, fuck pulling your car, and then take my guitar and take a walk in the park. That nigga went off. Nigga said, play the sweetest melodies the streets ever heard, and the bitches sucking on my nails and eating their birds. Like, this nigga is so ill, my nigga. By the way, I just want that to come back. When the last time we had a profound verse from a new nigga? Like, just a verse that everybody talking about. In the last 10 years, it's a verse everybody like, you got to go hear that nigga, hear her. One last, Kendrick is the only person that does it. He's the only person that drops something. People be like, nigga, we was at Mashos at dinner. We was at Mashos at dinner in Vegas for Lovers and Friends. And then, nigga, we at the table and everybody got alert. Kendrick dropped. Niggas at the table at Mashos like this. Y'all ain't heard it, yo. You gotta hear it, yo. This nigga's like, it's like, bro, like. Like, he, to me, he is why I think this is all of the moments that happen to make it your time.
You know how to move the needle.
Because it's now, we want that.
Yeah.
Now, Drake, you can't come with that God's plan or that, you know, like, when the hell I'm bling, nigga, that's over. You're going to have to come. You're going to have to, and I don't know if he has that in him, like, I feel like a producer can. Kanye can pull it out of him. Like, give him, he needs like a power.
It's the first time he's been knocked down. So now we got to see how he responds.
Jay-Z, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Drake, nigga. He needs some shit like that where niggas are like, yo. But you know, come to nigga, I said it about it. It's like, yeah, you know, black people kind of thought about that. We kind of thought about that. You do say nigga and you wear a yarmulke, nigga. We a little confused right now, nigga. Which one is it? So I'm a little uncomfortable when a nigga say nigga now because I'm like, nigga. Nigga, hey, he said, oh, he say, nigga, no. It's like, it's about to be some fun. This is going to be a fun summer. By the way, I'm sorry. You see, I love this shit, by the way. You see, I love this shit, right?
But
we're going to make this shit pop, rap. We're going to make this shit pop like never before. I promise you. Whatever you need, when you're in the studio tomorrow, we're going to make this shit, and it's going to pop. Because you that motherfucker. I want you to know that we behind you.
Thank you.
Even the dog, look at her. She getting up.
She rolling now.
Dog's moving. What I'm telling you.
Time to wake
up. I just want you to know we got you. And this is the artist spotlight. Let's give it up for Rhapsody.
Thank you.
We support you.
Thank you. You always have.
By the way, this is Rock Nation Studios. So if you ever want to just come in this motherfucker, please.
Oh, don't tell me that.
No, it's open 24/7.
Yeah.
Anytime. Let's go. All right. Shout out to our sponsors. Oh, yeah. Before we do that, I just want to give you. So one of my sponsors is a company called Tote and Carry. And I just kind of wanted to gift you something on the release of your project, if you don't mind. I heard your favorite color was black.
Yes.
Okay. AP, let me see the So this is just something light, you know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to make sure we gifted you
that
a nice
light. That's nice.
I just want to make sure we gifted you that.
It's Italian leather.
It's Italian leather. It's beautiful.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. It's a luxury bag coming. They are sponsors, and I wanted to make sure I gifted you a bag.
That's the kind of gifts you give.
Yeah. Thank By the way, you. It's gonna be people that's pissed.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To the blue couch. Let's go.
Welcome to the blue couch, baby.
Thank
Yo,
you.
Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Two Laws for sponsoring this segment. Artist Spotlight. Let's go. Shout out to Tote and Carrie. Shout out to Yoko Vaca. And shout out to you for watching. But more importantly, while you're watching, as soon as you're done with this, go stream Rhapsody's Please Don't Cry album.
Please.
Do that for me, please. Because it's
that.
Really good. And let me give y'all a secret. White people like money. So if white people see real black shit making money,
yes.
they'll put more money into real black
yes.
shit.
Yes.
So we have to support the real black shit so we can get Please. The people with the money to put money behind it. That's mm-hmm. just a little secret. I hate to have to say it, but it's the truth. This is the God Show. We are out. Let's go.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.